Today's parasha is Shoftim, which simply translates as judges. And as Pastor Sam said, Deuteronomy 16, verse 18 through 21, verse 9. This parsha may be divided into three topics: appointing judges, case studies, which covers a pretty large portion of it, and atonement for innocent bloodshed. Let's just jump right into it, where we're appointing judges. Pastor Sam, when he read, it says, appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. The operative word here is fairly. Remember in the desert how the disputes that Moses was judging became just way overwhelming for him. And his father-in-law, Jethro, advised him, select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. This is in Exodus 18. This is how they would appoint judges. Now, when I think of judgment, it tends to be a negative thing. Like, I did something wrong. And often that's the case. All right. But a judgment that is fairly resolved can fairly resolve an issue and may prove to be good, perhaps even character building. For example, a child may feel like a timeout for something they did was unjust. Now, if the child sees the teacher applying the punishment equally for the same offense, the focus remains on the unacceptable behavior, as opposed to who's getting away with it. When people see equal judgment, they tend to accept the verdict. It shows us the way to live and how to behave. So, how do we accomplish this? Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality. Do not accept bribes. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And thoroughly investigate. The objective with having to judge cases really comes down to this. You must purge the evil from among you. This is clearly stated 9 times in Deuteronomy. You must purge the evil from among you. For me, I think of my battle with the enemy, Satan. I'm a judge over my own choices. So I look forward to reading, studying, and praying with all of you. It helps me to better understand the things that are pleasing to the Lord, and builds on the foundation that helps me make better choices. So judging is not so much about what others are doing, but just being honest with yourself. All right. That's pretty much a brief overview of appointing judges. So let's get on to case studies, which really could take some time here. But let's focus on one critical component to any case brought before the judges. Those are the witnesses. If someone was found breaking the law, judges would thoroughly investigate. They would seek witnesses, at least 2 or 3 witnesses. For some cases, a guilty verdict would result in stoning to death. The witness would, of course, be the first to cast the stone. Now, being a witness carries great responsibility. Be truthful, clear, and stay away from embellishing an event. Simply pray for guidance and answer the questions truthfully. If you don't, you may find yourself on the wrong side of a stone. Consider Yeshua's perspective on the crowd when they gathered around to stone the woman who had committed a sin. He says, let any one of you without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. So, what should we take from this parsha? Seek to be a trustworthy witness, as Jethro advised Moses to seek out trustworthy men. Pray for guidance. Be truthful. Do not show partiality. Do not accept bribes. And don't embellish things. Sounds doable? Let's apply this to spiritual warfare and witnessing to others. Consider that we were all called to go to battle for the Lord. Who would go? Furthermore, who would he choose? This question may be covered in Deuteronomy 20. First, the Lord reminds us not to be afraid because he is with us. Then the officers would inquire of everybody, anyone build a new house? Let him go home, or he may die in battle, and someone else may begin to live in it. Has anyone planted a vineyard and not begun to enjoy it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle, and somebody else enjoy it. Some of us may be willing to fight for the Lord, but find that the concerns of the world are distracting. So the Lord looks for those who can remain focused on the mission. That's not taking away anything from your relationship with the Lord. We are all still worthy witnesses and part of the flock. It's just that the timing on this mission isn't for you. That's okay. The officer continues, has anyone become pledged to a woman and not married her? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else marry her. Oh, the Song of Songs. The moment in life where you just can't, you're so distracted, right, by somebody else in your life. And that's okay. The Lord created these feelings. You're still a trustworthy witness. So, stay home. The officer continues, is anyone afraid or faint-hearted? Let him go home so that his fellow soldiers will not become disheartened also. Again, this is okay. You're a trustworthy witness. There are just some missions that are not for you. The Lord is saying, don't force it. Let the Spirit guide you. And again, this is okay. You are still a trustworthy witness. Now, for those remaining who may go on a mission for the Lord, remember how the Lord told Gideon to reduce the army down from, over 20,000, and he ended up with 300? And they prevailed. Do not be afraid. Remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. Okay, we could get into state case studies a little bit more, but let's continue on. Today, being a trustworthy witness begins with keeping in God's love and remembering to be merciful to those who doubt. Your love may save others by snatching them from the fire. This comes from Jude's letter. Even the most difficult cases can be won through God's mercy and grace, which kind of leads us to atonement, which is given freely to all who receive it. Let's start off with our parsha. Innocent blood being shed. This is serious to the Lord. For example, in a case of an unsolved murder, it's not clear if innocent blood was shed. No witnesses, no evidence. Therefore, atonement was made through the sacrifice of a heifer, and the elders would wash their hands and declare, "Our hands did not shed this blood." Then the bloodshed would be atoned for. When innocent blood was shed on the cross, remember how Pilate took the water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. It's your responsibility." Paul clearly points out in the letter to the Romans that God demonstrated his righteousness by taking this opportunity to present Christ as a sacrifice of atonement for all sin through the shedding of his blood. This was innocent bloodshed. This atonement is received by faith. This is the atonement that our trustworthy ancestors bared witness to and also died for in their mission field. So, that covers the parsha this week. So to conclude, be trustworthy witnesses. Remember to be merciful to those who doubt. If someone offers you peace, accept it and open your heart. If your peace is rejected, let the Lord be your city of refuge, as Chris talked about last week. Why fight? The more we fight, the better we get at fighting. Then it escalates to war. But remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. Therefore, be the first to offer peace. Judge all people fairly. Thoroughly investigate all things brought to your attention. And most of all, pray to the Lord for wisdom and patience. Shabbat Shalom.